Good morning, everybody. Bob's is everything up and running there at the back. Sweet. It is really, really nice to see all of you. I've got so many jokes that go through my head right at this moment. I'm going to not fall for one of them. But it is extremely nice to see all of you. And I'm especially glad that I'm seeing Peter here. And Daryl, for the very simple reason, on Tuesday, we would have been serving here at St. John's now for 7 years. On the 2nd of Feb, we were inducted here. And it's the first time in 7 years that I'm not upset that Western Province lost against the Cheetahs. I'm not upset at all because the game was so bad, I can easily say with all confidence the worst team lost. That was just, it was such a bad game. But anyway, so congratulations for those of you that are Cheetah supporters. For those of you who have got no idea what I'm talking about, we'll rub off on you eventually. But it's good to have all of you here. Just one thing from my side. I just realized it again on Friday evening. Yeah, you're a bunch of lekker people. Hey, you're amazing. For those of you who don't know the people around you that much, even those who've changed their hairstyles, who've only been here, not been here in the last year, just want to say to you, you're surrounded by some of the best people in Bloemfontein, and they lack of people. I've got a couple of announcements. The first one is in 2 weeks from now, we're going to have our AGM. We have to have it. Hopefully government saves us again with a lockdown, so we don't have to have it. But then it comes with other things, you know, that we don't enjoy. So I will gladly host or be part of the AGM because we need to have it. Now, in order to make it, for those of you who haven't attended one of our AGMs yet, we try and circulate all the material before the time so that you don't have to come here and sit and read through stuff and ask questions. We try and make it succinct, short as possible. So from Wednesday on the website, all the reports and the financials for the last 2 years will be on there. You can just go and click if you're that diligent to go and do that. I somehow suspect when I look at your faces, when I use those three letters, AGM, I didn't sense any energy, any looking forward to the idea of an AGM. But if you surprise me, you're more than welcome. It's from Wednesday. It's going to be on the website. And then for the next 2 Sundays, there will be hard copies at the back. But the idea is read through it through before the time. Ask your questions. Think about it. You can, if you want, you can even ask me the questions before the time so that we can, when we get here, that we don't waste anybody's time, that we can be sufficient, efficient, quick, so that we can bribe. Something to that extent. So at home, not here. But at home. So that's the first thing. Second thing is Sunday school started today. If your children are small, I'm just asking the parents, please help with the admin forms, the filling in of the forms. We do need the administrative forms. And I mean to say, Anelia just walked in. And Paul, you will know, is as clever as he is, him and a form, or even Charles and a form, does not go together. So we need the parents' help just to get all our admin in order, and once that is done, then we can run. Also for all the parents, just to let you know, like we've got with a church group, we're going to create a group where, but it's not going to be where somebody can post those little verses and stuff on, you know. It's going to be one-way communication so that we can tell you if something is necessary or something is going to happen with a Sunday school. So if you see Sunday school 2021, you add it. Don't worry, it's not going to be a schlep. I don't like WhatsApp groups, but we've discovered through COVID that the WhatsApp group is actually an effective way of communicating. So just take that in mind. Now, I've got two very important things to share. Bible study leader says to his group, "What would you do if you knew you only had 4 weeks left before the great judgment day?" Gentleman stood up and said, "I would go out into my community and minister the gospel to those who have not yet accepted the Lord into their lives." "Very good," says the group leader. One lady stands up and speaks and says, very enthusiastically, I would dedicate all of my remaining time to serving God, my family, my church, and my fellow man with greater conviction. Oh, that's wonderful, says the group leader. One gentleman at last speaks up and says, I would go to my mother-in-law's house for 4 weeks. The group leader says, but surprised, why would you go to your mother-in-law's home? Because that will make it the longest 4 weeks of my life. I like that one. So the second one, and this is the one that will lead me into the prayer. Two old-timers were talking after church one day, and the one asked the other, so tell me, brother, what did you think about the soul food this morning? The other replies, the food was excellent, but the service sucked. So before the service sucks, let's pray and then ask God's blessing and that we can meet him. Father, you're a good God and we love you. And being together in your presence, what a privilege it is to know that irrespective of where we've come from, what weeks we've had, where we are personally, how the challenges we are facing, that year now, this time has been set apart by you before the beginning of creation, where you desire to meet with us. And Lord, we are here because we share that desire. We want to meet with you. How amazing it is that you, the Creator, the King of heaven and earth, would want to meet with us. So Lord, we dedicate ourselves, our hearts, as much as we can to you this morning. We draw close to you as well as we know how. And we ask you, Father, as we draw near to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to encounter, to hear you. Lift us up and let us experience the beauty of life in you. So bless this time together and just pour out your love in this, on all of us here and also on those watching over the internet. You are faithful, you are wonderful, and we love you. And we pray and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the belated word of God for us. Sorry about that. So, if you think that was worse, just wait until you hear what I'm going to do now. Or that was bad. Okay? Before we got married, Marianne was still a missionary. She got training from Walk Through the Bible. And they went up to Joburg for this training. Bruce Wilkinson flew out and he did the training himself. And they used this passage of scripture as a base for an activity that he did. So he got everybody to stand up to their feet and scream out from the top of their lungs 5 times, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. But not just for anything, you know, for something that really grabbed their hearts. So I thought to myself, as an introduction this morning for our service, let us do this. So won't you please stand? And now we're going to scream together. I wish I could see you could see your faces. Your faces go like, even the ones behind the mask, they go like, is this guy serious? Are we going to do this? No, I'm not going to make you sit, scream. But did you feel that, are we really going to do this? Please be seated. Please be seated. Yeah. This is like, what was in his soup this morning? You know, that's really the thing. But it is what happened here. This is what happened. Jesus was on his way to the cross, to Jerusalem. And we're following next, in a month's time now, we're going to celebrate Easter. And we're following Jesus on this journey towards Jerusalem. And what happened was that he came to Jericho, and when he got to Jericho, he got his journey got interrupted by somebody shorter than grace, a guy called Zacchaeus. And Jesus stayed that evening. He invited Jesus to stay at his place, and he stayed over that night with Zacchaeus. And the next morning, Jesus got up to go to Bethany, because that was where he was actually going. Now, there was a whole crowd with him. Not only did Jesus with the disciples and the 120 other followers, but there was this thing that if you lived like in a 24-kilometer radius around Jerusalem, and people were coming towards Jerusalem for Easter, and there was quite a lot of you, people would come and stand by the side of the road and cheer you on and go like, yeah, it's like the comrades, you know, people standing and clapping and doing that thing and singing with you. That was what happened. So there was this massive crowd. And Jesus is walking and talking and teaching and on his way to Bethany. And we don't know how, but Bartimaeus, blind guy, heard about this Jesus, and he must have heard about what Jesus could do. So he starts screaming out from the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But the Greek is so beautiful because it says it was actually a loud croak. Have you ever screamed that your voice just went? It happened the last time I saw a snake. My mouth went, but no sound came out. That was not even a croak. That was just something that I cannot share in church. But it was something. He screamed. Now, this was a huge nuisance to the crowd because for two reasons. The first one being, you see, Bartimaeus never went to synagogue school because he was blind. So he got the title wrong. He didn't know, you know, how you're supposed to address Jesus. So that was the first thing that was annoying. And the second thing about it was he was screaming. He didn't follow protocol. People, you know, if there's a prophet or somebody comes through, somebody important, there's protocols that needs to be followed. And Bartimaeus just ignored everything. He's just screaming. And so the crowd starts shushing him. Is there a word like shushing? You shush someone, but can you shushing them? It sounds like something you're supposed to eat. But anyway, so they say to him, hey, shut up. But he just goes louder and louder and louder. And then this amazing thing happens. Jesus hears him, he stops, and he calls for him. And then just this crowd who just told him, hey, shut up, are the same ones who say to him, hey, be good, bold, be courageous, he's calling you, be happy, off you go. So he throws off his cloak, runs to Jesus. Now, I always thought this was very funny. Blind guy comes and stands in front of Jesus and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do? Now, I promise you, ever since I've started reading the Bible, I always laughed at that point because it was like, why did you ask that question? The guy's blind. And then it dawned on my lightning quick mind this week. He was a permitted beggar. So if you had a disability like blind or lame, you were legally allowed to sit there and ask for money, for food, for clothes, for whatever. So I realized that it wasn't funny. It was actually Jesus not making an assumption, being very polite, but also wanting to hear what lived in this guy's heart. And so he asked the blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? And Bartimaeus says to him, I'd like to see. He shares with him his heart, the thing that moved him to scream over all the stairs. Now, granted, he couldn't see the people looking at him, but he could hear them say, hey, shut up. And over and above that, you've got that desire in his heart that got him to scream out, to break protocol, the thing that moved him. Jesus gives it to him and he heals him. And that's an amazing, amazing story. It's a beautiful story. It's just not where we live, is it? Our prayer lives, our interaction with God tends to be more polite, I think is the right word. You know, we're more polite. You know, we structured, we follow protocols, we do those type of things. Now, don't get me wrong. I know, because I know most of you, I know that most of us had our moments where we were lying flat on our face before God, crying out, you know, where you, it's one of those tender moments where it's raw. I know we've all had those moments. But if we're honest, those moments are few and far in between, and with good reason, with good reason, because you'll burn out. You can't live there the whole time. But even if you take a step back and begin to look at our relationship with God, it very often is a polite, courteous relationship. And you find it in our prayers. And the problem that we have is, or the fascinating thing for me about prayers is, prayer and change, how we change in life, are actually very, very similar. It's quite a weird thing. If you go and think about it, there are a lot of similarities. And we either change in life through vision or through pain. Those are the two main sources that brings change about in our life. So, for instance, the guy who is credited with the birth of the, or the starting of the Presbyterian Church, is a guy called John Knox. And John Knox famously cried out before God, "Give me Scotland or I'll die." I think that's before he knew the Scots. But he prayed and he asked God for Scotland. And God gave him Scotland. But it was a prayer, it was a cry that was born out of vision. Most people, and I think I would be fair to assume most of us, we cry out to God when there's pain. You know, then it's Jesus save me, Jesus heal me, Jesus restore, promote, heal, whatever that thing is. And that's where most of us are in terms of our prayer life and in terms of our interaction with God. Very polite. But most often than not, what happens is when we experience pain, then we change gears. Then there's more intensity to what we do. And now, lo and behold, we are in a season of pain, are we not? Season, whether it's the builders at home that's giving you grief, or what you see on Eyewitness News or wherever, you know, there's a lot of difficulty going around on a local level, personal level, national level, international level. And so what happens is more and more people are actually asking me about prayer. And more people are actually beginning to pray, which is not a bad thing. And so what I thought to myself is I would want to make one point about prayer today after that very short introduction, and one practical suggestion about prayer based on this story. And the point that I want to make is a very, very simple one. It's one of those that you will easily disagree with. I'm very sure of that. But that if you agree, it would probably help you a little bit. The point is this. If it moves you, it moves him. If it moves you, it moves him. Now, in order to sort of explain what I mean, if you look at the life of Jesus, you would see that Jesus had these concentric circles of people around him. He had a whole crowd. I mean to say, just imagine when you go for your next family braai and just the men are 5,000 and you're in the veld. You know, and you've got Pharisees screaming at you. It must have been quite like a circus where Jesus walked, you know. But he had those people. He had the crowds around him. And those crowds would listen to Jesus speak, and he would talk to them in parables. So they would hear stories about vines and farming and seed and goodness knows what else. And, you know, that was what they heard. That was their interaction with Jesus. Then there were a smaller group, much smaller group, around about 120 to 150 odd. To them, Jesus would actually explain, because they bothered to ask. Jesus would explain to them, okay, so what do you mean when you talk about the seed and these things? Oh, what does this mean? And he would explain to them the parables. Then he had the 12. And the 12, He shared secrets of heaven about. But then he had three that he took with him to serious places, like the Mount of Transfiguration, certain miracles, three that he trusted. So you see these concentric circles of people at different, call it distances, different levels of connection to Jesus. And if that makes sense to you, then it would be fair to say it... Relationship with Jesus is open to all. But it's not free for all. Not everybody is the one that comes closer to his heart. He's not. We all at different levels of connection with him. Does that make sense? Now, if you take that and you look through the scriptures, then you'll see that there are people based on, irrespective of where they were in terms of their level of connection with him, that did certain things. Moses stood on the mountain, closely connected to God, friend of God, somebody who God said, if only everybody was like this guy, you know, who said, if you don't go with us, we're not going to go anywhere. But you think of Hannah, a little bit further removed, crying out for Samuel. You think then, man after God's own heart, David, closer, dancing basically naked before the Ark of the Covenant, or Daniel, who's a little bit further, but also who sort of cries out to God, fasts, mourns, prays, those type of things. Then you've got the New Testament, Syrophoenician woman, who sort of wasn't supposed to receive a miracle for a child, but got it, you know, or the woman with the blood. The list goes on. What these people had in common was they were moved. They had something that grabbed their heart to the point where they went to the one who had the answer. And when they went there, because it moved them, it moved him. Just like Bartimaeus. Just like Bartimaeus. And if this point makes sense to you, that if you think about prayer, because we're trying to decomplicate a lot of stuff. We're trying to, you know, Christianity 101 for dummies with pictures. You know, those type of things. That's always what we're striving for. To make it make sense. So if it makes sense to you, especially in a time of pain or in a time where more and more people are beginning to pray, you think about prayer to say, hey, if there's one thing about prayer that I know, if it moves me, it moves him. It's like a child. You know, certain things are important to you because it's important to them. I mean, say, for the life of me, I don't like flowers. I really don't. You know, but when Abby came in with the last flower that she picked, fortunately in the church's garden, not mine, you know, and she brought it there, I appreciated that flower because it came from my daughter. Same thing. If it's important to you, if it moves you, it's important to him, and it moves him. Now, if that is a takeaway, a way of thinking about prayer, then I need to make one practical suggestion. Because here's what happens. A lot of people, You see, I'm getting so old. 5 is a lot for me. You know, it's a crowd. I mean, I'm totally overwhelmed. I was so overwhelmed by how many of you there are today, I forgot to change the scripture reading. You know, that's how far it went. But the thing is some people have come to me and asked me about prayer. And they say to me, okay, but now, what am I supposed to do? Okay, so I get your point. If it moves me, it moves him. If it's important to me, it's important to him. But now, how long should I pray? You know, how should I pray? What should I pray? You know, because I grew up in, for what we're about to receive, please forgive the hands that prepared it. That's the context. That's my whole context of prayer. You know, so how am I supposed to do it? And here's the beauty of it. There's no answer that can work. There's no one answer that fits that question. There just isn't. And anybody who tells you there is, just be like a penguin of Madagascar. Step back, smile, and wave, and just leave. Because there isn't. There is, however, something practical that I can suggest, you know, that sort of helps with this. We don't have time, and even if we had the time, I buggered up the scripture reading, so we wouldn't have it on the board. But Daniel 9 and 10. Daniel's got this heart issue that he prays to, that he pours out before God. And in Daniel 9, he begins to pray. Now, I've actually gone and I prayed that prayer out loud, and I timed myself. And it took me 3 minutes and 20 seconds to read that prayer. And at the end of 3 minutes and 20 seconds, here stands Gabriel, full in his glory. And he says to Daniel, Daniel, listen here, but from the moment you started praying, God dispatched me to come and answer you. Here's the answer of your prayer. Poof, and that's fine. You turn the page in my Bible to chapter 10. Same guy praying, but all of a sudden, 21 days. And Daniel's praying and praying, praying, praying. And then after 21 days, pa, here stands Gabriel. And Gabriel says basically the same thing to him. He says to him, Daniel, highly favored from God, from the moment that you started praying, God dispatched me to give you the answer, to give you the insight. But there was a little problem. I was supposed by a demonic force, and I had to call in some reinforcements, and that's why it took 21 days. Same guy, prayer answered, and we get that picture from God's side, answered right from the answer is being sent right from the word go. No difference in terms of faith, but the one prayer took 3 minutes, 20 seconds, the other one took 21 days. And when you look at those at that example, I want to say it's not about the amount of faith, or it's not about whether you can persevere. I would want to propose to you practically that it's about peace. Peace. See, Paul sitting in jail, having house arrest, it's another word for lockdown, level 5. But he writes a little letter to believers in this little town called Philippi. And he says to you, okay, chaps, so here's what I want you to do. Don't worry. If he was a singer, he would have done that. Don't worry, be happy. But he wasn't a singer. Apparently, he was quite an intense guy. So he says, don't worry. Here's what I want you to do. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. Make your requests, the thing that you've carried in your heart, make it known to God, okay? Through prayer, through asking, sprinkle in some thanksgiving, and then this is the thing that's going to happen. A peace that surpasses anything you can think about will come and guard both your mind and your heart. The sense of you're praying, and while you're praying, you get to and your mind doesn't run away with you. Your heart is calm. Paul says, pray until you have that peace. That would be the practical suggestion. I don't know how you need to pray. Don't want to give you a formula. But the thing that I want to say to you is this. It might vary in time, it might vary in the type of prayers that you pray or how you do it. That is totally between you and God. But when you and I understand that whatever moves me, whatever is important to me, is important to Him, because I turn to the one who is more as the lesser. Turn to Him and say to Him, you are the prize, but I'm in help. I need help here. I'm in trouble. When we begin to do that and we turn to Him constantly, there's a place where peace begins to protect your thinking, where peace begins to protect your heart. And you pray until that happens. You don't stop until that happens, until you've got that, ha, it's all right. I've still got time, so I'm going to slip in an example here. Any of you ever heard of the Parliament of World Religions? Okay, so 20 years ago, we were still in Stellenbosch. It was quite a shock for me to realize it's 20 years ago. We're still in a charismatic church, and the one day our pastor stands up in church and he says, listen here, I've got an announcement to make. Cape Town is going to host next week the Parliament of World Religions. Now, at that stage, my first thought was, okay, so what is it? And he explained to us that it's all the different faiths, and they come together. They form this governing body, and they make decisions that will then now, according to them, be, you know, sort of to enhance cooperation between the different faiths, but also, in their minds, be binding on, you know, the different religions. And if you've ever played golf with me, you would know that I don't get excited quite easily. I'm quite a mellow guy. It's not that I don't experience emotions. I just don't pay attention to them all that much. So I'm like, you know, quite rustig. But when the pastor announces that, all of a sudden, something in me stands up. Yeah, stands up. And it's like, hell no, this is not going to happen. Not on my watch. And the next sentence the pastor says is that we're going to have a prayer meeting all week. 5 o'clock at a church at Stellenbosch West Dutch Reformed Church in their hall. We're going to have a prayer meeting. If you want to be part of this, 5 o'clock. Now, Marianne will testify that at that stage, I was not a morning person. Me getting up early in the morning is a very recent development. I think it's got to do with getting older and bladder problems and those type of things. But the thing is I didn't have to set my alarm because something stirred me so much. 5 o'clock, myself and 50 other people were in that room praying. Now, it stirred me so much, I didn't care who thought what about my prayer. I really couldn't care less because this was important. So what happened is that the burger would actually give a report of the previous day's activities and then give you the itinerary for this day. And there were certain of the things that we were praying for that for months after that week of prayer, I still found myself going back to God, back to God, back to God, until one day it was like, oh, okay, now it's done. It's gone. I had peace. My mind was all right, my heart was all right, nothing stirred, and I could leave it. And it took months. But in that week, we had the opposite as well. So I think it was the Wednesday morning, they showed us the itinerary, opened up the burger, and there they've got, there's going to be a flyby of planes. You know, like when they've got State of the Nation, when there was still money for fuel, where the jets, the mirages would fly past, you know, with all these colors, and they were going to have this thing over Cape Town. And the one guy stood up and he said, no, there's only one deserving of such an honor, and that's Jesus. So he said, yes, all of us go like, yes, so what should we pray? And he says, let's pray that those airplanes don't get off the ground. Now, if you come from Postmasburg, I mean, say, that's pushing it. That's taking it and throwing the stick way beyond what any dog will be able to catch. You know, but because of this thing, you know, that was resting, I'm in, baby, I'm in. So we all 50 odd of us, we start praying. And it was the weirdest thing. It was such a short prayer. All of us, just together, everybody praying. It's gemors, it's demaka. But we're just praying. And then all of a sudden, we're just all happy. It's like, yes, we know God heard our prayer. Poof. The next morning, headline in the burger, criticizing the Air Force because the planes couldn't get off the ground. Now, we, of course, knew what the real reason was because we prayed for it. But what the point is for the one prayer, same thing, we had to pray months before we got peace, before that burden lifted. For the other thing, it took 2 minutes. So if you understand, in a time that we are in now, where things are hard, let's be honest. If you're not into prayer, you'll very shortly get into prayer. You know, that's just the way it currently is. Where we're facing these things. Remember this. If it moves you, it moves him. It's not a casual inquiry thing. He is the prize. He wants to do life with us. He wants to know, but you know, how it's going, you know, why you're upset that the storm was lost again, you know, or he wants to help you raise children or finance. He desires that. He always remains the prize. But we are in a season where we have to pray. Where we as the weaker ones turn to the Almighty One and ask him. And just know, if it grabs your heart, it will grab his heart. Be encouraged. Know that. But as you go about it, Don't stop praying until your heart and your mind is guarded by the peace of God, that it's protected. And you know what's the beauty of that thing? The moment that peace comes over you, that's the moment that you stop predicting how he should answer the prayer. I love that. You don't know how he's going to answer the prayer. You just got the sense he's got this. And so, I want to encourage you. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Know the one truth and pray until you've got peace. Does that make sense? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you that we can turn to you, Father. Thank you for mercy and grace. And thank you, Father, that you invite us deeper into you. All of us in this building, all of us watching over the internet, we are facing some serious challenges, things that are a burden on our hearts. And we've got these little voices that are asking, will you hear us? Did we pray enough? Did we have enough faith? Father, my prayer is that you will assure us and remind us that if it moves us, that it moves you. And Lord, I want to pray for your peace, that a recognition of your peace will be one that will not only guard our minds and our hearts, but that it will bring a freedom in the midst of the storm so that we will be able to sleep. You are faithful. You are good. We trust you. Help us to pray with persevering faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.